What's up? You're listening to the Sports Animals, and we want to hear from you. We've just created a Google voicemail box to hear your messages so that we can answer your questions from the mailbag on our show. If you want to ask a question of Harry and Mike about the New York Yankees, please call us at 201-614-5664 and leave a message for us after the beep. We're looking forward to hearing your questions about the New York Yankees, and we'll see you out there this season.
201-614-5664. Call us. Wow.
This is the Sports Animals.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Good afternoon, and we are back with another edition of the Sports Animals. I'm running it a little hot today, Harry, and there's a couple of different ways that this show could go. I don't think any of them are good for our listeners.
How hot are we talking here? On a scale from 1 to 10.
I'm running hot. It's January 7th, and Manny Machado has not found a team. Baseball is clearly broken. David Robertson negotiated a contract himself because he was too cheap to hire an agent and got a deal on the cheap with the Phillies that the Yankees didn't sign. I'm hot. I got a lot of things on my mind, Harry.
Jeez, it's Monday, Michael. You're coming in Sandra Bullock hot right now. This is I don't know where this is coming from. I'm going to have to put a little rein on this parade, I think.
You're always the first one with all the trendy things. Like there's no doubt in my mind that you were the first person in America to see Bird Box just so that you could talk about how cool Bird Box was.
I want to watch it because of the memes. That's the only reason. It's all about the memes. This is the new world we live in. People don't watch things for the content. It's for the memes afterwards.
Well, I have to say, I was disappointed by the Black Mirror Choose Your Own Adventure game.
Really? Oh, I liked that.
I'm a big Black Mirror fan, but that fell short for me.
You played the game wrong. You must have done something wrong.
Maybe. I don't know. Well, we're here to talk Yankees baseball here today, Harry, and a lot has happened since the last time we reconvened. Significantly, there were two signings by the New York Yankees since New Year's Eve when we last recorded the podcast. On New Year's Day, the Yankees signed Troy Tulowitzki to a one-year deal. It was a one-year deal, I believe. At any rate, veteran minimum, $550,000 a year. And the Blue Jays are responsible for the remainder of the money on his contract. So it's a no-risk signing to plug up that middle infield position. And then later this week, or just this past weekend, Zach Britton signed with the New York Yankees on one of those complicated two-year deals with a team option and a player option. So could be 2 years, could be 3 years, could be 4 years. We'll talk about what that's like. David Robertson also found a home with the Philadelphia Phillies, and today Kelvin Herrera found a home with the Chicago White Sox. So a lot happened over the weekend, Harry, and it has a big impact on what the Yankees are doing from a relief pitching standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of news around the Yankees this past week. No big blockbusters, but definitely a lot to talk about. And you know what I got to say? I'm going to miss David Robertson. There's no way around it. High Sox was always a class act. Did a lot for charity, but always a reliable Yankee. I love that he came back in that White Sox trade. So it's a little sad to see him go to Philadelphia, one of the worst sports towns in the country. I mean, so I think it just pains me to think about a Philly fan, an Eagles fan, rooting for David Robertson. Ugh.
Let's go ahead and start there, because I think the relief pitching conversation is different than the infield conversation, and our discussion about Tulowitzki will lead us into Machado as well. I'm angry. I think that the Yankees beefed this, and I think as I sit here on January 7th, the offseason is no longer young. Players are starting to find homes, and I'm becoming deeply skeptical of the offseason plans that the Yankees put together. And I think the reason why is that they seem to be signing the light version of every player that they want to sign this offseason. No offense to James Paxton, but Patrick Corbin was the guy out on the market this offseason. No offense to Troy Tulowitzki, but you know, he is no Manny Machado, and he's certainly not even, I would say, the second best or third best option for a middle infield position that the Yankees could have gone and gotten. And with this David Robertson deal, it just felt like the Yankees were trying to overthink this, right? He winds up getting a 2-year deal with the Phillies, and he's being paid $13 million a season. It's 2 years, $26 million. They wound up having to give a third year to Zach Britton several days later. The fact that Robertson went to another team and didn't get a third year drives me absolutely insane. It makes me wonder why the Yankees didn't just get this done back in November or back in late October. It seems inexcusable to me that he's not on the team, given what he's contributed over the last couple of years and the profile of the kind of pitcher that he can be for them. I think he could be a better fit for the Yankees moving forward than Britton, just based on his style.
Yeah, I mean, we said it last week. We'd prefer David Robertson over Zach Britton. Zach Britton certainly has a higher ceiling, but he's a little bit been injury prone the last 2 years, and David Robertson is just the model of consistency. Now, the problem here, though, I will say, when you're signing a free agent, you're signing them for the future, not their past. And I'm concerned that David Robertson is a little old, and you're paying, I think, a reasonable rate, but you're paying for his age 35, 36 seasons. That's getting old for a relief pitcher. And I think he was losing some muster on that fastball. He was starting to throw more breaking pitches, kind of reinventing himself a bit. It was working last year, but it's risky to sign an older reliever. That said, I think the Yankees should have signed him at this price. I'm surprised that they passed on him, and it's disappointing. I like David Robertson, and I wish they had signed him at this price.
So I was wrong about one thing last week and right about and disappointed by one of the others. The first thing that I was wrong about is I said that I thought that Craig Kimbrell was going to set the market for the other relievers. That has not happened. Basically, every reliever worth their salt now besides Ottavino is off the board. With Herrera going today and with Robertson going and Britton going, the dominoes have fallen without Kimbrell having actually been the key piece there. The piece that I was surprised by, and I guess I was wrong about this again, is that we had said that we preferred Robertson, but that we wanted to sign either guy who didn't want the third year, whichever guy did would concede the point on the third year. And then the Yankees go out and they pay more money to Zach Britton for a longer term. I mean, it's a worse deal in every way. And I think that a reasonable person could look at both Robertson and Britton and say, they both have risk. They both have risk profiles that are associated with them. Britton because of the injury history, Robertson because he's 2 years older. But it's so frustrating because he even fits the team worse. If you look at a profile in terms of the pitcher, Robertson's a strikeout guy. Britton is a ground ball pitcher on a team that has Miguel Andujar and Luke Voit starting at the corners with nobody at shortstop and Gleyber Torres at second base. There's no defense behind a guy who gets his outs on ground balls. It's an asinine move, really short-sighted, and it drives me nuts that they didn't go out and get Robertson for the price that he signed at.
So you're saying that you are annoyed that the Yankees signed Zach Britton at all? You think they should have let him walk?
No, I think they forced themselves into a corner and they had to make a deal with Britton after Robertson came off the board. What I'm frustrated by is if that's all it took to get David Robertson, why the hell didn't they sign him at the beginning of November? Why wasn't that the first thing that they did this offseason?
It was pretty clear from the beginning the Yankees didn't have a ton of interest in David Robertson. I mean, they're in terms of rumors, you always hear some rumblings here and there about a player and interest. There was nothing from the Yankees. I mean, they just didn't seem to have interest in him. I'm not exactly sure why. He's been so durable and consistent over the years. But I guess this shows that teams pay for higher ceilings and they pay for younger players. Zach Britton, peak Zach Britton is better than peak David Robertson. There's no doubt about that.
Sure, no question.
So I think they're hoping that he can bounce back to 2016 Zach Britton now that he's healthy.
Can I ask you a question, though? Who is your runners on base guy this season? Who is the reliever that you bring in to get a strikeout when you need one? Is it Chad Green?
Now, listen, I know the hot take house is open for business and it's open 24 hours over at the McMaster residence, but the Yankees have a very good bullpen. I mean, it is a very, very good bullpen. everyone has holes in their bullpen. No one has a perfect one. But the Yankees have as close to a perfect bullpen right now.
Yeah, but the difference is that the Yankees' bullpen has always been their strength and their starting pitching has been a weakness. They've been plugging holes for their starting pitching by having an elite bullpen. It's not a matter of, well, you know, this is a luxury, not a necessity. I think you look at this right now and say the Yankees' bullpen today on January 7th is worse than it was this past September. Period. Stop.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, guys always emerge too. Like Jonathan Holder, we thought was a nothing going into last season, and he's turned into what looks like a nice little piece. Now, I don't want him to be your setup guy, but he's a great fifth reliever in that bullpen with upside. Same with Stephen Tarpley. I mean, he came out down the stretch in September and was a great lefty option for Aaron Boone. So I think he could have a great year too. He's a highly touted Harry. Prospect.
Come on. The Red Sox just won the division 2 years in a row. They won 110 games this year and won the World Series. And we're sitting here on January 7th talking about Stephen Tarpley. I don't want to talk about Stephen Tarpley. Sign a reliever who is competent and who it drives me nuts.
So they just signed Zach Britton and you're complaining about it.
No, I'm not. I'm complaining because they didn't sign Zach Britton and David Robertson because for some reason the Yankees are still obsessed with this $206 million number. Meanwhile, the Dodgers and the Red Sox are going to spend past it again, and the Red Sox are going to field a better team on opening day than the Yankees are. And if the Yankees don't change or wake up and agree to spend money, that's what it's going to be.
The Yankees need to spend money, and they are above the luxury tax threshold right now.
By $4 million. If they trade Sonny Gray, they're going to be back under it again. It's not they don't have to do anything really significant to get themselves under that number. And I think that if you're a gambler, even money that they're under that number on opening day at best.
Mike, if I totally agree with you, if they trade Sonny Gray and this is their offseason, I would be upset. But you're raiding a restaurant after the appetizer. There's still a lot of off season left. There's a lot of moves that still need to be made, and I want to see the Yankees spend that money. What if they go out and sign Ottavino or Cody Allen? They sign a very competent second reliever. Then you're back where you started. They have an exceptionally deep bullpen. What if they go out and sign Manny Machado? I mean, I really want them to go out and sign Manny Machado, and I think they will. So my long past the luxury tax number, we have to see the rest of the offseason to see if they continue to spend.
My read on the situation is that the Yankees actually care about that $206 million number. That doesn't mean that they won't go past it under any circumstances, but I certainly think it means that they're not going to go past it for Adam Ottavino. I think that if it means that they can get Manny Machado and they can get ownership to buy in on a generational talent like that, or Bryce Harper, who we have said on this podcast from the very beginning that we think that Harper is sort of a dark horse in all of this, then I think that the Yankees will be prepared to go past that number. I don't think they're going to do it for Ottavino. I don't think there's any chance because I think that number actually is real, and I think it's something that they're really paying attention to, which is stupid. It's really dumb that they care so much about that $206 million number.
Completely agree. They got to spend. And I don't think that they're going to hold back. I think they've blown past it and they're not going back. So that's my hope.
So do you actually think that, or is that wishful thinking? Is it what you want them to do? Because I disagree with you if that's what you think. I think they care about that number and that it's very much in their heads.
I think it's part of their offseason planning. I mean, they calculate everything, but they reset the luxury tax. So their penalty goes down now considerably. So that's why they've been working so hard to reset the luxury tax so they can spend over it and not get taxed as hard. I think that's the situation we're in now.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing this offseason has convinced me is that Rob Manfred has his work cut out for him, because at the way that this is going right now, there's no question in my mind that we're heading for a strike and a work stoppage in 2 years when the next CBA is being negotiated, because you can't have a situation where there are two players who are 26 years old, who have both been multiple time all-stars, who have won MVP awards, who teams are afraid to pay. I mean, there's no other sport where that's the case. And that is all the proof that you need that baseball is currently broken.
Yeah, but they're going to sign. They're going to sign contracts north of $300 million. I think the bigger problem is not Harper and Machado. It's payrolls are down compared to 15 years ago, and there's record revenues. But this is the CBA that was negotiated by the players' union. They signed off on this. So I blame the players' union as much as I do the owners. So yes, I think the next CBA agreement is going to be contentious, and there's a lot of things that need to be fixed. But right now, you don't need to worry about Harper and Machado getting paid. I think Boris could get creative and use the Zach Britton-type contract for them. That's the fascinating part we should probably discuss is this is a new type of contract that could change the sport. It really changed the sport with the opt-out clauses where players could opt out earlier in their deal. That was a thing that really surfaced recently. I think CC Sabathia was the first to include that. Now this new contract structure, teams don't want to give guys 4 years guaranteed. So you give them 2 years, like in the Zach Britton's case, 2 year contract. And then there's a 2 year team option. After 2 years, the team can say, I like where this is going. Let's give you an extra 2 years. If you decline that option, if the team declines that option, then the player gets 1 year option. So that's how the Zach Britton deal is structured. It's really
at a reduced rate. So Britton would be signing for his third year would pay him less than the first 2 years. But the only reason he would do that is if in his own estimation, he looked at it and said, I'm not going to get this much on the free agent market. So,
correct.
That's how it basically works.
So it's a little confusing, but it's interesting because I think there's going to be a lot more option decisions that are up in the air going forward in the sport. People will be opting out earlier. And what's interesting for the Yankees, if Zach Britton is really good, then they're paying him $53 million over 4 years. If he's really bad, then they're paying him 3 years because he's going to opt in on that player option. They're going to be paying him 3 years. I think it's about $39 million. But what if he's mediocre? What if he's good, really good 1 year and really bad another year? Then they have to make a decision about whether they pick up those 2 years. And I think there's going to be a Machado or Harper-like contract that's structured that way. And it's going to make some very uncertain futures in the sport. It's going to be interesting to watch. It's Boris getting creative.
Yeah, but it's Boris getting creative because the teams are so allergic to spending right now, which is a problem in my mind.
Yeah. But baseball also has long-term guaranteed contracts that very few other sports do.
Sure.
So maybe we need to restructure this a bit where players who are young get paid earlier.
We both are in violent agreement on this. The way that teams have been manipulating the service time to keep guys down in the minors is borderline criminal. And the idea that you need 6 years of service time before you can be a free agent is crazy. And it's why you have this weird situation going on in free agency right now where teams aren't signing talent. As we sit here on January 2nd, there are two contracts in all of baseball that have exceeded $40 million for a position player this offseason. That's insane in 2018-19.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be an interesting one to watch for sure.
So you're not as hot about this as I am. You're okay with the fact that Robertson wound up with the Phillies. Were you upset to see Herrera land with the White Sox? Where do you come out on the other side of this reliever conundrum?
Yeah, I think the Yankees should sign one more reliever. I think there's a lot of options still out there. Cody Allen is one that no one's really talking about. He was a pretty good closer for the Indians. Started at the beginning of last year, but the year before was his really dominant season. I think Ottavino had a really, really impressive year last year. So he's someone that they could target. But there's still options out there if they want to add one more reliever. But I think the Britton signing, taking a longer look at his numbers this week after the signing, I wanted Robertson because he's more consistent, but two down years from Zach Britton. This year, 3.1 ERA. That's a very good year for a reliever. The year before was his other down year, 2.89 ERA. I mean, those are two very good years if we're talking about down years here. And he's still relatively young. You know, he's going to be 31 on opening day. I think it's a good high upside signing. If he's anything like the 2016 Zach Britton, the Yankees will have a steal because that is one of the best relievers seasons of all time. I mean, what an unbelievable year that was. He should have won the Cy Young Award that year. 0.54 ERA in 67 innings. He was just dominant, and sign me up for that if Zach Britton can bounce back to that level.
I hope you're right, and I hope that's the way that it turns out. I just think that the Yankees, it's a swing and a miss on the bullpen this offseason. We'll see whether they sign somebody else. I think what I'm skeptical of, and I think what you're being too optimistic about is I think they're done spending unless it's a superstar. I don't think that they're spending money on an Ottavino or a Cody Allen because I think that $206 million number matters to them too much. I also can't figure out why in the world Sonny Gray is still on this team. It looks like Brian Cashman. I mean, if you think they care about that $206 million number, then that would mean that you're betting that they trade Gray because he's got $9 million attached to his name and they could get themselves back under and still have room for something, not much, but they'd have about $5 million bucks left underneath the cap. My guess is that they care too much about that number to spend on a Cody Allen or an Ottavino. So we'll have to see.
We'll have to see because I don't want to give a review to this offseason until the review is over. Until this offseason's over. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're
jumping way ahead of yourself here.
I get it. I get it. But I also think that you have to start asking yourself what would have to happen for you to give this offseason an A. And that's becoming difficult for me to see a path to this offseason being an A for them.
I think Manny Machado would be a good step in the right direction.
Yeah, maybe so. I mean, I don't think that's going to happen. I think he's going to wind up with the White Sox. And I think that him winding up with the White Sox could immediately turn the White Sox into a contender for that division.
Mm. I guess it's a really weak division, but the White Sox were just awful last year. Awful.
Yeah, but they've got young talent up and down that roster. And despite the fact that they weren't very good last year, I think they're one of those teams that could arrive pretty quickly. You know, we know Yoan Moncada has his problems with strikeouts, but he's an extremely talented player. Yonder Alonso at first base, Michael Kopech. I mean, there's talent on that roster to be sure. I could see that team making a quick turnaround.
Yeah, I mean, they have some good young talent, and they seem to be willing to spend. I don't think it's going to happen this year, but they should be in contention soon. The Phillies, to me, are more likely to contend this year because they still have a ton of money left. They're supposedly meeting with Bryce Harper again later this week, and I could see them signing a Craig Kimbrell and a Bryce Harper, and that with that young talent, some stud players out there, I think they could be very good.
We'll see. The only thing I know for sure is that George Steinbrenner is rolling over in his grave the way that Hank and Hal are managing this team.
Woo! Oh, man, it's getting hot in here. Real hot.
When we come back, we will talk a little bit about Sonny Gray and why that bum is still on the roster and another reason why I'm still skeptical of this offseason plan. And we'll also talk a little bit about the third base situation, the infield situation, be it as it may, with Troy Tulowitzki landing on the New York Yankees and Manny Machado still unaccounted for in the new year. We'll be back on the Sports Animals. Welcome back to the Sports Animals, and we have more New York Yankees baseball to discuss. We thank our wonderful sponsors, and Harry, I think it's about that time in the episode. What are you drinking today?
Oh, man, I really want to open a beer to put out the fires that you've started here, so let me crack open a McKellar NYC. It's a limited edition. It's called a winner is you. Because that's what we're trying to build here in New York.
I don't even understand what you just said.
Pale lager. It's called a winner is you is what the name of the beer is. I think it's a video game themed beer.
What a loser!
By McKellar Brewing Company. It's a pale lager, 4.5%. Great brewery.
check it out.
So my beer has zombies on it. It is from Clown Shoes Brewing Company. It is the Undead Party Crasher American Imperial Stout, brought over by a friend this weekend as a gift. So I'll be cracking into one of those as we continue our conversation about Troy Tulowitzki and the Yankees infield.
Tulo. Man, can you imagine if this was 2015 and the Yankees had just signed Tulowitzki and Zach Britton? I mean, woo!
That would be, yeah, it's kind of like the Dave Gettleman strategy. Just build a 2011 All-Star team, put it out on the field and see how it goes.
Get Jonathan Stewart as your running back?
Yeah, exactly.
Let's please not talk football because the Eagles and Cowboys won their first playoff games.
Oh, my God. New York sports are in – to be fair, just across the board, New York sports are terrible. I mean, you have the Nick Senter not traveling to London because he's afraid of political assassination. You have the New York Rangers in rebuilding mode, the Devils at the bottom of the table. You've got the – do the Islanders even – I don't think the Islanders even have a stadium anymore. They're just, like, playing in Central Park at this point. And you know, the Jets fired their head coach, Pat Shermer, and the Giants are, you know, Eli Manning is a disaster. There's not a good team in the entire tri-state area right now.
Hey, if the NBA playoffs started today,
the New York Nets –
woo! The Brooklyn Nets, baby, would make the playoffs.
Okay,
but the first New York area sports team.
The NBA playoffs are the dumbest playoffs that – I mean – we don't have to have this conversation right now, but the NBA has essentially nullified its entire regular season by saying, hey, we have 30 teams in this league and we're going to put 16 of them into the playoffs. So basically, if you are even below average, we're going to give you a shot in the tournament. And it's a really dumb playoff format that they have.
I completely agree. I mean, the Nets would be 20-21 and they're seventh in the conference. They'd be number 7 seed.
That's riveting basketball.
Oh, man. But let's get back to baseball because we cannot talk about the Phillies and Cowboys. The Eagles and Cowboys, God, I'm mixing them all up.
So do you want to talk about a positive or a negative first, Harry? You want to be positive and end it on a negative note or be negative and end it on a positive note?
I mean, you are Mr. Negative tonight, so why not keep the train rolling?
Okay. Let me tell you the next thing that really grinds my gears, Harry.
Oh, boy. What really grinds my gears? Our weekly segment here with Mike McMaster.
And this is another reason why we have to be really skeptical of this New York Yankees offseason, because it does now appear that there is at least a possibility that Brian Cashman is going to be forced to eat his words on the Sonny Gray utterances that he came out with right after the season, essentially saying it's their intention to move him and he does believe that he's going to be a good pitcher, but it's not going to be in New York. Totally trashed him, threw him under the bus. When reporters asked about him, he took a deep sigh, the way that it was like a disappointed teacher or something. I mean, it was really very, very transparent how frustrated he was with Sonny Gray and how little he wanted Sonny Gray to be his problem anymore. Now, it does appear that CeCe Sabathia is having some heart issues that are somewhat scary, I think, and there's some doubt about whether or not CeCe is going to be ready for spring training. We all knew that CeCe was a health liability, but I think most of us had assumed that it was going to be his knee that could potentially be limiting, and hopefully everything's okay with CeCe because, you know, a heart issue is a little bit scary, and obviously he's a pretty big guy. So that aside, it may look like the Yankees need to have Sonny Gray on that roster on opening day, and they clearly haven't been able to get from the market what they thought they were going to be able to get from him. So at some point, you know, we all are so accustomed to thinking that Brian Cashman is this ninja that makes these great moves and he always knows what he's doing, and in Cashman we trust. At some point, you need to look at this and go, this might have been somewhat of a miscalculation, that to go out and trash him so openly at the beginning of the offseason and then to wind up here on the other side of the new year with no real plan in place about what happens with Sonny Gray, and Cashman now leaving the door open that he may be on the opening day roster, essentially having to reconcile with this player that he trashed openly in the media. We have to leave the door open that was a miscalculation.
Yeah, I mean, right now it's looking like a miscalculation because Sonny Gray is still on the Yankees and they haven't found a deal that suited what they want for him. to me, Sonny Gray is going to start the season on another roster. There's just no going back. I've never heard a GM go into an offseason saying this player will be traded.
Point. I've never heard that before. And now Cashman is saying over the weekend that, you know, there's a possibility he's there in spring training because of the CC injury or illness, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. He is a high upside candidate as a sixth starter. I mean, I don't really want him on the team. It would be a very awkward situation of him coming back after being trashed and demoted to the bullpen last year. But if I'm another team, I am very interested in this guy as a buy low upside candidate because he had a very good year just the year before. And also he seemed to get unlucky. He was much better away from Yankee Stadium than he was at home. If I'm another team, like the Reds have shown interest, the Brewers, I would certainly like to bring him to the NL and give him a shot. It's a 1 year, $9 million contract. You're not going to find that type of deal on the free agent market. So sure. If I'm another team, I would pony up for him.
What's the problem? I mean, is it that the Yankees have wanted major league talent and nobody's willing to give major league talent? Is it that they're trying to package him up with some other kind of depressed asset? Is it that they have been asking for prospects that are too – I mean, that's the piece that I can't figure out, which is, you know, we've heard since the winter meetings that there are 15 teams or something like that that are interested in Sonny Gray, and yet there's no deal that's been done. So what are they looking for that they're not finding?
I just think that they haven't gotten the deal that they want. They've been looking around, and they just haven't gotten the prospects that they want in return.
But is that what you think it is? Do you think they want prospects, or do you think that they're insisting – is it possible that they're insisting on having major league ready talent?
It's possible that they're insisting on some good players in return that can help them this year. I don't know. If a shortstop – if Manny Machado goes to the Phillies, let's say, maybe the Yankees trade for someone like Scooter Jeanette on the Reds. You know, it's come some kind of supposedly Profar, who was just traded to the A's, great second baseman from the Rangers. Yankees offered Sonny Gray. There was going to be some type of three-team deal there. That would have been a nice use of Sonny Gray. So you have a trade asset. Maybe you hold on to him to maximize value. But he's going to get traded to me before spring training ends. So I don't worry about it too, Mike. Don't lose sleep over this. I don't think he'll be a Yankee on opening day.
I think you're probably right, but I think it's also what they've done to themselves now is extremely limiting in what Sonny Gray can be. And, you know, we're comfortable with the fact that the Yankees have a somewhat depressed farm system because they've graduated so many players to the major leagues, and those players that they hadn't graduated to the major leagues, they traded and swapped for real major league talent in the J.A. Happ deal, in the Zach Britton deal, in the James Paxton deal. What's alarming to me is that if you don't want to get major league talent, you're boxing yourself in on this Sonny Gray trade. I think that, and we've said this for a long time, the Yankees need to go for it this season. You're coming off of a season where the Red Sox just won the World Series. They've won the division 2 years in a row. They just won 110 games. You've got Aaron Judge, Gleyber Torres, Miguel Andujar, Gary Sanchez, all on young rookie deals. These kinds of windows don't last forever, and it's time to spend and go for it. And instead of spend and go for it, they have tried to be creative about using assets to get players, right? I mean, we think that James Paxton was a great deal, and it may very well be, but that was not cost-free. They had to send their number one prospect in the system, Justice Sheffield, over to get that deal done when they could have had Patrick Corbin for just cash. And now you're taking a look at Sonny Gray and you're saying, okay, if we can't get major league talent, we want to flip him for prospects. And if the Yankees are trying to use prospects to find major league pieces, then I guess the master plan might be, okay, we can make this deal at any point, and those are the prospects that we use for the piece that we're getting at the deadline. I just don't understand. I mean, if you're trying to get minor league pieces for Sonny Gray because you want to be able to trade those minor league pieces for major league talent or package them up with the rest of
that could be the case.
It just feels like this should have been done already because you're running out of time before spring training, and I think they were
surprised by the interest. I think there were a ton of teams who were interested in him, and they they were like, wow, okay, maybe we should hold on to him and get the most for him rather than just dumping him. Yeah, so, you know, I think we should rename this show the Mike Psychiatry Hour. I'm basically your psychiatrist here. I walk through all of your problems, all of your hot takes, and just give, you know, a little reason to it, a little pause so you can reflect and say, you know what? I shouldn't be upset about this. So maybe we should rename the show. Mike is less depressed after an hour with Harry.
I think that's a good idea. I think that we should also consider naming it Harry Spice, because what I do on this show is I come and give you interesting things to think about, and then you give me milquetoast arguments in response. So this is Harry Spice. We're taking your piece of milquetoast. We're spreading some spices on there in a take, and we're giving you just a little bit of flavor in your life, Harry.
See, I don't fully understand, because I feel like spice usually means it's hot, you know? But I thought I'd be more like a dairy product.
You don't think my takes have been hot?
No, you just called me Harry Spice.
Well, no, what I'm doing, we're calling Harry Spice. I'm spicing things up for you.
Oh, I see how it is. See, yeah. I would say that I bring facts and news, and you bring hot takes.
Hey, that's what keeps this podcast moving right along, Harry.
It's the yin and yang right now, you know?
Yeah, that's right. So I don't know. I just feel like it's time for the gray thing to happen. And if the potential disaster here is if they decide to swallow their words and keep him on the team, and then it just becomes awkward for everybody, and it looks like a big-time Brian Cashman miscalculation. And I think there have been several Brian Cashman miscalculations in this offseason so far. I know a lot of people will look at it and say, well, you're a spoiled Yankee fan. Last year you got Giancarlo Stanton. This year you want Bryce Harper. And that's all fair, right? But the reality is, and we've pointed it out many times, the Yankees are spending less now than they did in 2004. And they're spending less as a percentage of their team revenues than they basically ever have in the modern era. And that should piss Yankee fans off. And yeah, Getting the word out there that it should piss you off is something that I think it's starting to gain a little bit of steam, and I'm glad to see that kind of traction, because I think that the luxury tax that we've imposed is restricting a free market, and also the fact that teams get 6 years of service time with a player is also restricting a free market. And baseball would be better if there were a free market and everybody was incentivized to win games.
I think you should take a deep breath, Michael. Take a sip of that beer. Because we're still only halfway through the offseason. And I think the Yankees may surprise.
I want baseball back, Harry. My Giants are terrible. I want baseball back.
I can't wait. I mean, we're getting pretty close. What are we, 40 days away? Probably less.
Can I give you another hot take, just because I'm in that kind of a mood right now?
Yeah. Why not? Why not?
To football for just a second. So I'm watching the Chargers and Ravens yesterday, as I'm sure most of America was. And Philip Rivers is slinging it. And somebody made a comment about how bad a decision it was for the Giants to go with Eli over Phil Rivers in that fateful draft 15 or 20 years ago.
Oh, boy.
And they made the comment, Eli just throws ducks. He throws such an ugly ball. And I looked at this person and I said, I can understand you saying that Philip Rivers is a better quarterback for his career, and we can have that argument. But if you want to criticize Eli for throwing an ugly ball and then tell me we should have taken Phil Rivers, is there anybody in football in the history of the sport who has had a more unorthodox or ugly delivery than Phil Rivers? Like, I mean, he's like alligator arms the football, and somebody's telling me, well, Eli throws ducks. It's like, are you even paying attention to what you're watching?
Sign me up for 2 Super Bowls from any quarterback that you draft. I don't care who it is. I mean, if it's Trent Dilfer, I don't care. Sign me up, because I'd take Eli over Phil Rivers any day.
Yep. Well, this is a baseball podcast, and here I am talking about defending Eli Manning. Sonny Gray, you think he'll be off the team by opening day. I'm a little more skeptical, but I do think it's an indicator that we should be more skeptical of this offseason by Brian Cashman as a whole.
Fair enough. But Tulowitzki, let's talk about him. That's, man, this would have been headline news just a few years ago, and how the mighty have fallen.
Yeah, so lead us off, Harry. Give me your thoughts on the Tulo deal.
You know, it's a low, you know, they're paying him $550,000. It's nothing. It's kind of nice that a division rival is paying $26 million for a player that's playing on the Yankees, because that's what's going on with Tulowitzki. You know, I think he's a nice stopgap. I don't think he has a long-term future with this team. You know, he did hit 24 home runs just last year. I don't know. He's been banged up a lot the last 2 years, like some serious injuries. So can he return to the Tulowitzki form that we know? I mean, he's 32. That's getting old for shortstop. They might have to move him off shortstop. But to me, this is a signing that's, okay, he's $550,000. We're paying him nothing. Let's have him compete with Tyler Wade. And, you know, he's basically replacing Ronald Torres in my mind. And if that's the case, then I think it's a very good signing because he's got a lot more higher upside than Ronald Torres and Tyler Wade. If they think that this is going to be a guy who plays 100 games this season, then I don't like it at all because there were better shortstops and second basemen available in the free agent market.
So do you think so there's basically three options for opening day's shortstop, right? The first option is Troy Tulowitzki. The second option is Manny Machado. And the third option is somebody else, whether it's Tyler Wade or Gleyber Torres or assigning a guy like Freddie Galvis or there's a handful of free agent shortstops out there.
DJ Mulehiu.
The Yankees have Edeni Echevarria in their system right now. I hope I said that name right. He's a possibility as well. I don't have.
Sounds like a Mario and Luigi character. Right? Echevarria.
To me, Echevarria. Yeah, that I could get on board with that. That sounds good.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be. I think they're gonna go with Manny Machado. That's all it is. And they actually asked about it today, and Tulowitzki had a great quote because supposedly he signed with the Yankees.
Yeah, I saw this.
Like playing time potential. And the quote today was, I want the best players in the world on my team. Of course I want Manny Machado on the team.
Yeah, he said he signed with the Yankees to play with the best players, and signing Machado would make them a better team. So he hopes
love it.
Do it.
Love it. Great, great start, Tulo. Love it.
I do think that the White Sox are the favorite for Machado at this point in time. What we've been hearing about the Yankees not wanting to exceed $200 million is a little strange. I think that's a weird rumor. I don't know why the Yankees wouldn't exceed $200 million for a player like that, other than the fact that George is dead. But, you know, we'll see what happens. I think that it's going to be too low opening day shortstop, and that makes me a little bit nervous. At the same time, I like the deal for all the same reasons that you like the deal. When you have a division rival paying his contract, it's a no-brainer to take a flyer on a guy who has so much upside like Tulo. I don't think it means that the Yankees are not signing anybody else to play middle infield, and in fact I think that they do need to sign another player to play middle infield. The morning that trade happened, or excuse me, that free agent signing happened, my dad texted me and said, does this mean that the Yankees are done on Machado? And I said, no. I mean,
No way.
Yeah. I mean, if you're paying $550,000 a year for Tulowitzki, he's essentially not a player that you're guaranteed is going to make it out of spring training, right?
Yeah, you could cut him.
The Blue Jays didn't cut him for no reason. And Yankee fans need to remember that, right? The Blue Jays are footing a $30 million bill for him not to play for their team. So there's something there, whether it's personality in the clubhouse, whether it is the fact that they just don't think he has the ability to play anymore. They don't want him on their club. And, you know, I read something interesting over the weekend that was potentially one of the reasons why the Blue Jays don't think it'll work in Toronto is that they have the field turf and that he would have to play all of his home games on turf, which can be harder on those heels that he's had the surgery on. That is kind of interesting, but I'm not necessarily sure that it's a great take. I mean, if he's that fragile, is he really going to be able to soldier through a 162 game season with anybody? I don't know.
I did see a Brian Roberts comparison, which kind of concerned me. If you remember, Brian Roberts was a great second baseman for the Orioles.
Yeah, and he really played second base for the Yankees for about a year and a half.
Yeah, and he was not good. I mean, he had come off some serious injuries, and they signed him for cheap, and they thought, hey, high upside, maybe he can rejuvenate some of that old young bluster or something like that. And it was a total disaster. So maybe there's some of that with Tulo. I think there's a better chance that he gets DFA'd this year and cut than he starts 100 games. And that's fine. He can be a Neil Walker type. He can play, three times a week and be a productive player for the team. That's what I think the Yankees are hoping. He's a better Neil Walker.
Do you think that there's that's actually an interesting question, though. Do you think that there's a chance that he's better than Neil Walker? Because, I mean, Neil Walker has been a pretty useful player the last couple of years, and he
didn't
do as well with the Yankees when he didn't have regular playing time. And I think that when there were injuries that allowed Neil Walker to play every day, you saw that he was a more productive player when he was playing every day than when he got a spot start here and there, which is one of those weird things about baseball that's hard to measure, but it seemed to be true with Walker. And I think it could be true with Tulo as well. I wonder whether Tulo is as good as Neil Walker was last year. I mean, if you're just sizing up this year's Yankees versus last year's Yankees, is Tulo an upgrade in any way? And I'm not sure that he is.
The Yankees swooped in on Neil Walker because they saw a bargain price for a veteran player with upside. I mean, he was coming off a 265 average, 362 on base with 14 home runs. I mean, that's not bad. And they saw, oh my God, $4 million for this guy? Let's give him a shot. Now, he wasn't great last year, but he was serviceable. And I think they saw the same thing in Tulo. Bargain price, let's jump in and get this guy.
Look, I'm not against the signing. And I also agree with you that there's no guarantee that this guy even makes it through spring training. The Yankees still could very well cut him before opening day or DFA him sometime early in the season if he's not productive. But I think that Yankee fans that think that this is a solution or that think that this is precluding them from making any other deal are delusional. Troy Tulowitzki is a name, not a player at this point. We know the name. We don't know what the player is. And they're going to need to find that out in the Grapefruit League play in a couple of weeks.
Yep. There's a very good chance that he looks awful in spring training and he's not healthy and the Yankees cut him.
He came out over the weekend in the same press conference where he said, you know, I want Machado. He said, you know, I am healthy, but I need to see major league pitching, right? That sounds to me like a guy, not to disparage him, but that sounds to me like a guy that's not 100% confident in his own abilities at this point. It's been a long time, and he needs to get back in the batter's box and see whether or not he can compete. The Blue Jays didn't think he could, and they made that clear. They're willing to pay him $30 million to play somewhere else. And the Yankees are going to pay him $550,000 to play for them. And so Yankee fans are really excited right now because Troy Tulowitzki is a big name. That doesn't necessarily mean that he's anything other than a big name.
Yeah. Like, I'll say it again. This is a utility signing, and I think it's a good one because it has high upside and it's cheap. But we're talking Neil Walker, Ronald Torres, Tyler Wade. We're not talking replacing Didi Gregorius or replacing potentially Manny Machado. That's just not going to – he's not going to stop anyone. But let's see what he can do.
The Yankees infield right now really worries me for this season. I get the feeling that this is the Yankees are – I'm not convinced right now on January 7th, and I know that it's not a finished product, and I know that the offseason is still going. I'm not convinced right now that the Yankees are even as good as they were last year on paper. That infield of Luke Voit, Miguel Andujar, Troy Tulowitzki, and then Gleyber Torres at second base, that's pretty scary.
We got to dedicate a whole show to the off-season review, but I think your grade is going to be quite different than it is January 7th.
No, totally agree. But again, I'm looking at this and saying, okay, what has to happen for this get to get to a place where I'm going to give them better than a B? And I'm taking points off for not signing Robertson. I'm taking points off for not making a run at Corbin more than they did. I'm taking points off for trading the best prospect in the system. I'm taking points off because they haven't yet signed an infielder that solves the problem for Didi Gregorius, whether that's Machado or somebody else. And so, you know, how do you get to an A, right? How do you get to a B plus? The only way you do it now is if you sign Machado or Harper. Other than that, you look at this and say, this was a subpar offseason. So, you know, if they sign Machado, then I've got to eat some crow. But if they don't, I don't really see a lot of things that they can do that makes this an offseason that you feel really confident about.
All right. Well, I think, Willie, we should revisit this in late February, early March, because there's still a lot of offseason left. I feel like you're grading a paper after the opening.
The rough sentence. Draft.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot to be done.
So you're thinking Machado winds up with the Yankees. I'm thinking he winds up with the White Sox. Anything else to say, Harry, about the Machado and Harper sweepstakes? And is it interesting to you that all the buzz right now is around Machado as if Harper doesn't exist? I mean, it seems like everybody in baseball has somehow decided that Machado is going to sign first, but I'm not really sure why we've reached that conclusion.
I think there's more interest in him, to be honest. Infielders, there's a higher demand for it, and there's more teams that need a shortstop, a third baseman, than need a left fielder. I guess that I'm not sure if he's a center fielder, left fielder, but I think his best position is left. So I think Machado signs first. I think he signs probably by the end of the month. And then I think Harper doesn't sign till maybe mid to end of February. I think this is going to get dragged out. This is going to be a JD Martinez situation where he's going to sign late. Boris is going to get creative, wait as long as he can, and sign a creative deal that sounds like it's $300 million, but there's a ton of opt-outs. There's a ton of options. So I think both of these contracts will be unique, not 10 years, $350 guaranteed million.
I don't disagree with any of that. And I think that the Machado deal will – I don't think that Machado is going to go to the end of the month. I think by the time we record the next podcast, Machado is going to find a home. I think that there are surprisingly few suitors for a player of his caliber. The fact that there are only really three teams that are being bandied about is pretty interesting. If you had to guess, Harry, how much money do you think Machado winds up getting, given the fact that there were rumors this week that the Yankees aren't going above $200 million for Machado?
I think he gets around $300 million. Again, with the caveat that it's not all guaranteed, there's a lot of options and opt-outs built into it.
I think that's probably
As high as we thought at one point it was going to be $400 million or $500 million. Yeah. I just don't think the market's there for that.
I don't think the market's there for that either. And we can argue endlessly about why that is. But I think that deal's going to happen sooner rather than later. I think that... again, it's just shocking that there are only three teams that are in on this. I mean, why would the Mets not be in on this?
Yeah.
Seriously.
That's true.
Aren't the Mets a better team tomorrow if they have Manny Machado? Why can't they do this?
Because of Bernie Madoff. They're still paying that back.
It's just so frustrating. I mean, they're a team that perpetually signs expensive middle-tier players, and they have such a great fan base who deserve better. There's no reason...
I'll give them a little credit because this past weekend, they did three trades that were extremely unsexy. I'm not going to even bore you with what the details of those trades were, but they basically got a ton more depth. They focused on let's get quality AAA players because that's been the problem with the Mets for so long. They have a terrible farm system and they sign all these veteran free agents. And when they get hurt, they have no one to plug in. So they got a lot more depth this past weekend, which I thought was a very clever move by their new GM, Brody Van Wagen.
Brody Winklevoss, our
buddy. The Winklevi.
Yeah, the Winklevoss twin. That's the GM of the Mets.
So under the radar deal, I think, this past weekend.
Fair enough, Harry. Any parting words on today's pod? Anything else that we didn't touch on?
Mike, I think you should explore meditation.
I meditate at the baseball cathedral in the Bronx.
Oh, I like that.
10 times a year.
There's an app called Headspace. They're not a sponsor, hopefully one day, but you should check it out. I think it will make your hot takes a little less hot.
So we'll be back in a couple of days. Harry, we'll be celebrating your 30th birthday this weekend.
Ooh, wow.
And my prediction is by the time we record the next podcast, when you are on the other side of 30,
oh man,
Manny Machado will have a team. He will have a suitor and he will be in another uniform.
Oh, great. Thanks. Thank you for that, Michael. That will really make my birthday.
I can't give you that for your birthday, Harry, but I do have a surprise for you, and we'll talk about that on the next pod.
Ooh, sounds exciting. All right. Well, I hope I get a little Bryce Harper and Manny Machado for my birthday.
I hope so, too. And with that, this has been another edition of the Sports Animals. Tune in next time for more Yankees baseball.